Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
Oh, hey. So you're just talking about the Kardashians there. I thought, you know, with AI, let's have a professional song created about you dreaming or you having an experience with the Kardashians. So I have no idea what this sounds like, but this was generated during that last call. Let's take a listen.
Carol's invitation faded in the night. A shadow beckoned them to follow her light. Carol Hughes said, "Come, let's share a beer." Under flickering street lamps, they drew near. Kardashians in glitter, wearing smiles so brave. Unaware the path would lead from dusk to grave. The night grew colder.
Oh, where's the singing
here?
Their laughs
turned thin.
Now, this is good.
Footsteps hollow, inviting sinnin. And hell unfurled its velvet claws. Furry heads concealed their flaws. Sirens wailed above the beer-soaked streets. In cuffs and masks, their fates complete. They chased the warmth in neon glow. But shadows whispered secrets low. Kim's tears fell silent on her fur-clad crown. Courtney trembled as their world broke down. Cuffs click. Verdicts whisper. Locked behind iron bars, their whispered breaths linger. In prisons cold where secrets hide, furry heads lay down in pride. Carol's haunting lullaby remains. A toast to freedom turned to chains.
Let's drink a beer. Oh my God. I was expecting something up tempo and fun.
I'm generating a poem. I'm working on the follow-up cut here. Because I was expecting that too. And it's being generated. Let's see if I can get a little preview here going.
Carol's invitation faded in the night.
What is this thing?
A shadow.
Ah! I don't know. It's supposed to sing. It's supposed to be.
Oh my God, that was funny.
It's supposed to create music.
And the beer-soaked
streets, whatever.
I want to go there. I don't know where that is, but I want to go there.
Yeah, that's I'll keep playing with it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's amazing. It does sing. I probably didn't command it correctly. The little evil AIs.
Can you tell it to make an Edgar Allan Poe poem? Because that's kind of what it did.
Yeah. We could have it. We could have it. We could have it make an Edgar Allan Poe poem, and then it could read it in an Edgar Allan Poe voice.
Oh, I like that too.
Yeah. No.
Me and the Kardashians going for a beer.
Yeah. Did this.
It's been raining in my heart since you walked.
Oh, this is a different. Damn it. As I went to the examples and I didn't. Okay. Well, this is still, I think, the same thing.
Carol's.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's go to the letter and hear this ghost story. This is written in from their perspective. You'll never forget the moments when the world stops feeling safe. For some people, that happens later in life when a loved one dies or when a brush with violence shatters the illusion of security. But for others, it starts young, too young. For me, it began when I was 12. And almost two decades later, I still can't explain what happened. It started like so many stories do. New neighborhood, new school year, new friends. I was just starting seventh grade, awkward and searching for my place like any kid at that age. My family had moved to a neighborhood where I didn't know a soul except for one girl I met the year before. I'd call her Heather. She was the kind of friend who became your whole world at 12. When you don't just hang out after school, you hang out every single day. When the last bell until dinner time, swapping secrets and dares, walking each other home. Heather introduced me to her younger sister, Dawn, only 2 years below us. And to Dave, the boy who lived behind her. Dave had grown up with the girls, a fixture in their lives. And then there was Lee. Lee was different. He was 14, a freshman at the high school, a little older, a little edgier, the kind of kid you weren't sure if you admired or feared. He'd known Heather's family for years and carried a torch for her that was impossible to miss. Heather didn't feel the same, but she tolerated him, maybe because at that age, you can't yet imagine how dangerous obsession can become. Her parents, though, saw it clearly. They didn't trust him. They didn't like him around. Still, kids don't always listen to parents. And so the group of us, Heather, Dawn, Dave, me, and Lee, became inseparable. There were rules. Lee was never allowed to have anyone over to his house. We all thought that was strange. Once in a while, Dave broke the rule and went anyway. He'd report back that Lee's dad, a military man, was strict and cold, while the stepmother was strange. He described her as mean, standoffish, a woman who seemed to despise everyone. Sometimes we'd see her outside glaring, radiating dislike. It was clear Lee's home wasn't welcoming. Heather's home, on the other hand, was a stark contrast. Big, old, successful parents. It was the nicest house in the neighborhood, but the girls swore it was haunted. They said they'd grown up with strange experiences there. Noises, figures, little disturbances that became background noise to them. Their parents laughed it off as childish imagination. That was before things went too far. The spark came one afternoon in the woods. It was an old abandoned convertible, half buried in leaves at the time. The kind of place you'd expect kids to gather, daring each other to touch it, telling ghost stories around it. That day, it was the four of us, me, Dave, Lee, and another boy who faded out of the story before long. We sat on the rusting frame, talking and laughing when Lee suggested a seance. We thought he was joking. 12-year-olds don't understand the weight of things that they play with. We agreed, laughing, because it was easier to humor him than to be the one who said no. But as Lee chanted, and the words took on a rhythm. Something changed. He seemed to know what he was doing. Dave's breathing quickened. He began to hyperventilate, then bolted from the woods screaming. I laughed at the time. I thought he was messing with us, but soon the laughter curdled, because after that day, things began to happen. Lee became obsessed with the idea that he was possessed. He gave it a name, a personality. He told us it wasn't really him anymore, but something else speaking through him. Something that called itself Exni, or maybe Exni. At first, it seemed nothing more than a cry for attention. He'd roll his eyes back, act strange, scribble automatic writing on pages. We played along, humoring him, rolling our eyes when we were together. But when we were alone, when the lights were out and there was no one to impress, the real terror started. At home, I began to notice my 2-year-old sister playing with someone who wasn't there. Her eyes tracked things I couldn't see. She'd point and say, "There he is," like it was the most normal thing in the world. I caught glimpses, too, a flicker of something blue disappearing into walls, sliding across the floor. Not a person, not a shadow, more like a flash of color with fur darting just out of reach. Objects began to fly, framed pictures hurled themselves from walls, crashing near me. Water would pour across the bathroom floor, but never from the sink, as though someone had deliberately dumped it there. Always when I was alone, always when no one could confirm it. I thought it was me, and I was losing my grip. But then Heather and Dawn started to share their own stories. They'd seen the same blue presence forming half shapes, emerging from walls and doors only to dissolve before it became whole. They described figures wandering their home, shadows of men in boots, a tiny white figure that stood watching them. It wasn't just me. It was happening to all of us. And through it all, Lee was there talking about demons, talking about Exni had taken over. He'd call me at home and tell me with eerie accuracy what Heather was doing in that moment. Once he told me she was shaving her legs in the shower and would cut herself 3 times. I hung up, unnerved, and called her. She answered, fresh from the shower, shaken. She'd just cut her leg 3 times. Coincidence? Maybe. But the more it happened, the harder it became to believe that. Dave tried to confront him, tell him to knock it off. He came back pale, terrified, claiming that Lee had pointed at him and an unseen force had thrown him against the wall. Though I wanted to believe he was exaggerating, and part of me knew Dave wasn't the same after that. It only escalated. The parents got involved. Heather and Dawn's parents grounded them, tried to cut ties. They even went to Lee's house to confront his parents. But the stepmother stonewalled them, refusing to let the father of Lee speak. The house, they said, was littered with voodoo-looking things. Even Heather's parents, who had laughed off ghosts for years, came back rattled. Lee was furious, and that's when it turned from unsettling to dangerous. He wasn't just pretending anymore. At least that's how it felt. He stopped talking like himself. Every conversation became about the demon that lived inside of him, the thing he called Exni. He'd snap his fingers and say he was stealing our memories. He'd do automatic writing, strange symbols and words pouring out of him like he was channeling something beyond his own mind. It was easy to tell ourselves he was just a kid desperate for attention, 14 years old, nursing a crush on Heather, pushing boundaries because that's what kids do. But then the things he said started to line up with things that were actually happening, things he couldn't have known. And it got harder to laugh off. One night he called me, his voice strange, taunting. He told me he could see me, that he was watching from his bedroom window. I was sitting inside of my living room. He described in perfect detail what I was doing, what my uncle was doing, even what my little sister was playing with on the floor. But there was no way he could see us. not from his house, not from any angle. It was invasive, chilling, like someone had torn down the walls of my home and left me exposed. Around this time, Heather and Dawn's parents tried to step in, and again, they grounded the girls, forbade them from answering Lee's calls, but it didn't matter. The girls would still come to me, panicked, saying things were happening in their house, that figures were walking through the walls, forms emerging out of them. Their phone calls would cut out mid-sentence, replaced with the sound of fingers snapping. They said it was Exne, marking their memories, taking things from them. And then came the night it all went too far. Heather and Dawn were grounded, stuck at home, while their parents worked late. I was home alone with my sisters. The girls called me hysterical, saying the house was full of movement, shapes, walking through walls, ghosts or demons everywhere. The way kids would describe a haunted house. I told them they were scaring themselves and it was nothing. And then the line went dead. I stood there, my phone in my hand, when I heard it. A sharp, deliberate snap. And then another behind me. I turned, and there he was, Lee. Or whatever he was pretending to be or had taken over him, standing in my house. His presence sucked the air out of the room. The girls came running minutes later, barefoot, sprinting from their house to mine. They skidded to a halt when they saw him standing there. He smiled. He said he was going to kill Heather for rejecting him. And then it happened. It looked like her hands were going to her throat. Uncontrolled, she gasped, clawing at the air, but nothing was there. She screamed, begging for him to stop, but he didn't move. Finger impressions rose across her skin as though invisible hands were throttling her. Red welts scratched into her neck, and then she collapsed, limped on the floor. Dawn and I screamed until our throats burned. My little sister cried in the corner. I felt completely powerless, a child watching something mysterious unfold. And then, as suddenly as it had started, it stopped. Heather lay breathing, pale and shaken, but alive. Lee was gone. After that night, everything changed. Heather and Dawn's father, stationed in the military, received orders to Germany. The family packed up and left. I moved down the street into another house, but the presence didn't seem to vanish. Like it follows. The blue flickers, the shadows, the strange figures. They're still here. Lee wrote letters from Germany for a while. They arrived steadily, each one darker, stranger, and one day they just stopped. And when they did, the activity began to die down. It was as if his silence had severed the tie. But not before the last terror. Something, whatever it was, found a way to mimic voices. In my mother's, my sister's, I'd hear them calling me from another room, only to find the room empty. It was subtle, but it shook me worse than the screaming or the shadows. It was intimate. It was personal. It knew how to get inside my head. Years passed, the fear softened, but never vanished. And then out of nowhere, a phone call came, collect, from a mental health institution, stateside. It was Lee. The boy who had once claimed a demon named Exne had taken over was now a man, institutionalized, still reaching out for whatever life had taken him. I'm almost 30 now, and I still don't have answers. What started in a neighborhood friendship, or as a neighborhood friendship, and an abandoned car in the woods spiraled into something that left scars on all of us. I still feel things. I still sense things. And no matter how far I move, I can't shake the feeling that something from that year has never stopped watching. Your thoughts.
Ah! Man, you know, you want to have some good friends when you're growing up, and then those are the friends you end up with. My God.
Always fun to hang out in the woods amongst rusty old things.
You know, because during that, I was like, well, maybe this is like mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, because some of it kind of presented like that. And mm-hmm. he makes up a different persona. I went through that with a friend of mine years ago. Mm-hmm. She would be, she, and it was mental illness in her case. It was not.
Sure. Yeah.
But it would just, her whole personality would change and she would be very mm-hmm. different. Well, so I was like, maybe that was it until like all of a sudden all that weird stuff starts happening. Like,
well, crazy. what I wonder about is, you know, if it is a mental illness with the kid, and you know, he's hanging out with these other kids and nobody's really catching on that this might be a mental illness. And there's just this suggestion that there's this evil force around him. And then he makes this horrible statement. And then maybe, you know, the girl that's there that's hearing this from this monstrous kid, you know, I think I might be tightening up too and having a hard time breathing, like having someone say that, like right in front of me and witnessing just how out of control this monster type character is. And then when it gets retold and when it gets relived and reimagined through, you know, years and years of life, you know, in the moment she could have been thinking, oh my God, he's choking me like telepathically or something. But in the end, was it that, or was it the anxiety, the pressure of this mentally ill kid? And then the anxiety of being around that for so long and kind of buying and believing into the spooky kind of like folklore.
Hysteria.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That the other people kind of.
Yes.
They get it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But could it have. It seemed like it all started with the seance thing.
Well, I was just going to say, it doesn't it always start with people doing shit they shouldn't be doing? Like, I've got the little thing that says Ouija awareness. So when you started telling this story, I'm like, is this going to be another Ouija board story? Because
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ouija awareness month is usually October.
And did you guys ever do, because I'm assuming we all did the Ouija board.
Yeah,
did you guys ever do seances when you were kids?
No.
No, but I actually know some investigators when they investigate actually do a seance every time. And I just don't know that it's a good thing.
So what are they, what's their goal when they're doing that?
Well, it's just like, I guess using a Ouija board or a spirit box or something like that, you're trying to get everybody's energy together and let something speak through everybody's energy, not just one person.
Okay.
Still, not something I would do.
Yeah. I don't think I'd like to invite it to use me as any thing. I'm kind of hands off.
Yeah, I'm kind of anti that.
Yeah.
No,
that just doesn't seem like, something I'd like. Let's go. Yeah.
I was just going to say it was weird as the story went on, though. It kind of made my mental illness theory not really hold water. You know what I mean? Because there was some dark stuff that started happening. And it could have been hysteria. It could have been that other people are kind of feeding off of it and they're feeding off each other a little bit. I mean, that's kind of Salem, you know? Mm-hmm. They kind of, some people attribute it to that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of theories. So maybe it could be something like hysteria, but then it just seemed like, you know, like him calling her, and which, by the way, I wouldn't take a call from him. Yeah. I don't know. They go, Lee's on the phone. I ain't here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in describing what she's doing, what her sister's doing, okay, that's not necessarily hysteria. So I don't know. I don't know what that was.
I mean, there are possible logical ways, but there's a lot of weird stuff in there that just, you know, it doesn't, it's hard to say that it couldn't be something else.
Yeah.
You know, without any, I want to see if this is, cause I'm still obsessed with this idea.
Carol Hughes had a plan one Friday night to grab the Kardashians and set the mood just right. She dialed up the glam crew with a smile on her face. So let's hit the bar, leave drama out of place.
neon streets and glittering lights. This is what I was wanting. About the rumors and tabloid fights. Raise your glass, let's toast tonight. Carol's calling, everything feels right. But the night takes a turn we can't control. Flirty heads and flashing lights start stealing our souls. We stumble through the tavern in costume craze. Caddies wheel, coy trips in a purple haze. Courtney's laughing until her mascara ran. Kim just whispered, Mom, is this all part of the plan?
Guitar solo.
Raise the glass, embraces collide. Chaos reigns, the furry heads in sight. Sirens wail as cuffs snap tight. Kardashians in prison under neon night.
So that's a song about you going out with the Kardashians and wearing furry heads and them going to prison.
I just changed her name.
That did not happen in my dream. Nobody went to prison.
I changed her name. It's now Carol Kardashian.
Carol Kardashian. Isn't that disturbing as shit?
That I'm now Carol Kardashian.
No, that was made like that.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
It's, yeah. Suck to be a jingle company these days.
You don't need it, right?
No, no. Oh, I haven't tried to make it sing radio jingles yet.
Oh, I've got a client that does that.
Through this?
I don't know if it's through that specifically, but that's what they
wow.
do.
Yep. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Yep. Soon they're going to take over the world and we're all going to be dead. And well, you'll have the archive, so.
Yeah, but we're going to be dead. So yeah. Nobody even needs the archive at that point.
Maybe the computers will want to listen to it and they'll learn about ghost stories and they'll listen to like they already did it. They just listened to the whole damn thing. It's already there.
And it's, you know, I saw this, like LinkedIn sends me things like, you need to check into this job.
Yeah.
And it was a voice actor reading things that they would feed into AI so it can get the genuine emotion of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that pays well. But I'm like, I don't know that I want to be part of that.
Oh, like, I mean, it's,
if I'm into that and you got your own studio, you could do it.
Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.